Today marks the official start of the summer crabbing season, and the forecast is for lots and lots of Dungeness crabs. Great news for crabbers like Langdon Cook.
I actually pull on a wetsuit and a heavy diving belt, and I go swimming around in Puget Sound, chasing crabs on the bottom.
Langdon Cook is a forager and writer, and his crabbing methods are a little extreme.
Crabs are fast. You'd be surprised. They can scuttle along the bottom really quickly and use their legs as flippers, sort of. But I sort of trap them on the bottom in about 20 feet of water and stick them in my mesh bag, very careful not to, you know, let a pinky get caught, you know, in their claws, because they can cut right through my neoprene glove.
Now, if you don't want to dive for crabs like Langdon Cook, don't worry. There are plenty of more conventional ways to catch Dungeness crab. Cook told David Hyde one method is to throw a crab pot into Puget Sound.
For that, I would recommend a boat, but you don't need a fancy boat with an outboard. You can just blow up an inflatable raft and paddle, you know, 100 yards offshore and drop your traps, and I've seen plenty of people do it that way.
I'm poised to go crabbing, but I don't have any kind of a device to do it. What are my options?
Right. So you need a crab trap. There are different ways to go. You can get a typical pot, which is just a cage that you bait, and it has some funnels that draws the crabs in. They get caught in the cage. You could also use a ring, which sits flat on the bottom, and the crabs crawl into it, and then they're not trapped until you actually pull it up, at which point it becomes more like a basket.
The somewhat more active crabber would want to go that route.
That's right, and if you want to be really active, you can get a fishing rod, and you can use this tiny little trap that almost looks like a suet feeder for birds. You bait it, and it has lots of little fishing line loops on it, and so it's almost like sight crabbing, because you have to see that the crab is on it and somewhat tangled up in the fishing loops, and then you reel it in. So that's kind of a fun way to catch a crab.
What about bait?
So bait, you know, I save my salmon heads for just that purpose. Other people,
you save your salmon heads.
What about
people who don't have salmon heads to save?
Sometimes I make soup with my salmon heads.
There you go.
I also save them for crab bait.
But salmon heads are a good way to go.
Oh, okay. Great crab bait for sure. Some people use clams, herring, anything smelly. Really.
I've heard turkey
chicken bones.
Leg.
Yeah,
turkey
yes,
leg
for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Why?
You know, crabs are opportunists and they're scavengers, so they're just looking for a good meal that's easy to get. And so whatever they can smell.
Is there any hierarchy of bait from the crab's point of view that you know of? Was a crab like, salmon head versus...
I'm a big fan of salmon heads, and I've got plenty of them.
Okay. How deep do you put your pots?
So, you know, most people will, say, drop them 20 to 150 feet.
And are you looking for a certain kind of bottom conditions or just anywhere?
Well, the crabs really do like the eelgrass. They also like muddy or sandy bottoms. When I'm diving for them, I'm actually often looking for them in the rocks. Mm-hmm. But they seem to really like muddy or sandy bottoms.
What's eelgrass?
Eelgrass is just this aquatic grass that waves, you know, on the bottom, and there are fields and fields of it. It's actually a pretty cool place to go diving, and the crabs hide in the eelgrass.
Crabbing opens July 2nd this year. What are the rules that people need to think about?
Good question. So first of all, you need a license if you're 15 or older. And also, very important, you need a crab endorsement. This is relatively new, I think, since 2007, and that you have to pay a little extra for. Everybody needs a crab endorsement, and that comes with a crab catch card. So after you've caught your day's crabs, you have to mark them on the catch card, and you have to send that in at the end of the season or you will be fined. And this is how the Department of Fish and Wildlife basically determines the seasons and the openings and how many crabs we can catch and all that good stuff. They need information. They need data.
So you want to follow that to make sure there's going to be enough crab for you next year.
That's right.
All right. I'm looking at a bucket full of fresh Dungeness crab. What do I do next?
Okay. I think the easiest, especially if you're new to crab, is just to boil them. So get a big pot of water on the boil. Toss your crabs in there 15 to 20 minutes in the boil, and then they're done. Pull them out. Rinse them with cold water to stop the cooking, and then you need to clean them at that point. So you remove the top shell. There's other parts, the lungs, that sort of thing that you need to the gills that you need to remove. And then you break them in half, and at that point you have kind of mirror images of each side of the crab, including a claw and the legs, and then you can just segment them and pull the meat out. We call that picking the crab, and it's a bit of a skill. You got to learn how to do it to be fast and efficient and get the most meat out of the crab. But Dungy's, they have so much meat, and the meat is tender and sweet and delicious, and I really think that simplicity is the way to go. I just boil my crabs and eat them right out of the shell. I put newspaper down on the table and get beers out for everybody, and, you know, they lose their inhibitions a little bit that way, and, you know, the crab juice is flying and shell is everywhere, and it becomes a bit messy, but it's fun. Crab feed is the way to go.
That's Langdon Cook, forager and author of the book The Mushroom Hunters. He spoke with David Hyde. Cook also suggests checking with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's website before you go crabbing, and you'll find a link to that at kuow.org.